Thank you, Neil, and good morning to you all. It truly is a privilege to be with you. I heard many good things about this fellowship. I've been deeply blessed by Pastor Simon, Fiona, and indeed Neil. Over the years, been a great support to me and my family. And just thoroughly enjoy meeting up with them to pray every now and then. I hope you know that. We meet up to pray for our respective fellowships. And so you can know that you prayed for, yes. And it is wonderful, wonderful. Truly, this is a church I can clearly see has got a heart for the Lord, a heart for prayer, which is so needed in this time, yes. And so just my grateful thanks to all of you here, though it's the first time I've come, but just feel the support and the love, and we're all one in Christ Jesus, amen. This is the amazing thing, and you know, just as we were singing and worshiping the Lord, I'm just, you know, as a preacher, you always look out for those confirmations, don't you? And I tell you what, I almost feel like I just need to just, as we were singing, just saying, Lord, just let us continue to sing, because all the things that the Lord's laid on my heart has truly come out. So if you've got your Bibles, which I trust you do, we're going to be turning to the book of Revelation, which is right at the back of the Bible, if you didn't know. Revelation chapter 5, please. My apologies from my wife, my children. We would have loved to have all been here this morning, particularly for the fellowship lunch. But, you know, just some logistical problems. So our apologies. But God willing, next time we visit, you'll be able to meet them too. So before I start, Neil said I'm not allowed to talk about rugby, so I won't. However, everywhere I go as a South African, I get asked the question, you know, can't get away from it, because it's just where a rugby mad nation is, I'm sure you know. And one of the things that I thoroughly enjoy about rugby, and my children as well, is when they do the anthems before the games, not just winning the World Cup, which is quite nice as well, but is when they do the anthems, okay? And it's just lovely to see, you know, not just the South African, many of the other nations, when you just see that identity with their nation, that weight that comes upon them, knowing they're representing their country. And a lot of times you see even the tears roll in these big strong guys as they stand up the front there, don't you? And so the anthems are clearly something important, and clearly in some kind of wisdom that was put in place for every nation that brings the people together, particularly in a time of difficulty. And you know, a lot of times I think to myself, I wonder what would be the anthem of heaven. You know, and I was just thinking this morning again as we were singing these songs, worthy is the Lamb. Yes, worthy is the Lamb. And indeed for us who have been redeemed out of every tribe, tongue and people and nation, that is our song that we're going to sing throughout eternity, I believe. Yes? So let's read Revelation chapter 5 in context. I trust you know post the letters to the seven churches, and then John gets this amazing insight, my friends, into something, the wonders of heaven. That one day we are going to see, praise God, yes? And he sees the one sitting on the throne. He sees his four living creatures. He sees the 24 elders. Okay, so as part of Revelation chapter 4, we go into chapter 5, and I'll just read it through and then see how the Lord leads us this morning. And John says, "And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?' And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals.' And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and in the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and as such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your precious word. Thank you for this wonderful insight your faithful servant John received from you, Lord, to pass on to us that even now, in this very day, 2023, we can read these words. And Lord, our hearts truly get excited about the things that is even in store and waiting and is happening even in heaven now. So Lord, we thank you for this privilege. We pray that you show us things this morning. Remind us, Lord, as you have already through the time of worship this morning, of who we are in you and what you have done for each and every one of us. We bless you and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. My friends, I'm convinced we are going to be absolutely blown away when we see something of the majesty and the glory of what John got to see here. Yes, and not just John, some of the prophets of old, as we know, got some of these glimpses of God's glory and majesty and insight, as it were. And I believe that when God gives us these things, it's not just to show off, if you like. There's a meaning behind these things. There's a message here for us that is so important, isn't there? And I mean that the whole book of Revelation, if you look at it in the time of first century Christianity, great persecution, yes. Great persecution taking out. And what a comfort and an encouragement this book is to them, knowing what is coming, what is waiting on the other side. And John, the beloved disciple, along with Daniel, the beloved prophet, as it were, got this great insight into what we call end time things, yes? And so this is an amazing, amazing chapter. But there's something I want us just to have a look at here this morning by God's grace. We're not going to get through all of it because I know you're all waiting for your lunch a little bit later. But just to get us excited, and I believe as we were already during this time of worship, okay? So John sees this this picture, if you like, or he sees what he sees in heaven. The right hand of him who sat on a throne, a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with many seals. Okay, many people have tried to define exactly what that is, be that the title deeds of the earth or whatever it may be. But in Ezekiel's prophecy, he talks about a similar type of thing that he saw in heaven, as it were. And on it he saw there were lamentations and woes. So something that is so important. And indeed, the question is then asked by the strong angel, who is worthy? Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And then the tragedy, no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. And John weeps much. Now, I think this is something about what we can forget in our time of grace, is forgetting that problem that exists. Because the question goes forth, who is worthy? Not who is willing. I think if we had to study in history, there'd be many dictators or powers that be at the time that would say, "I'm willing. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to unfold this great mystery of humankind, as it were, and the things of the future." But that's not the question. The question is, who is worthy? And John understood this. You can imagine the tension, the spiritual tension, even if you like, as he's got this insight into all these wonderful things that he's seen. And he recognizes here is a problem. No one, not one, in the realm of heaven, on earth, or even under earth, was found worthy to open the scroll or even to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, now we've got to understand something about the elders. When you see them in Revelation chapter 4, and you see this new song that they sing about being redeemed out of every tribe, tongue, and people and nation, there's something about representing of those who are redeemed. So this is, I believe, is a representation of the saints of old, the people of God, as we were singing this morning, and Neil was reminding us through those scriptures, who once weren't a people, but now we are a people, the people of God, grafted in with God's purposes for Israel. A wonderful, wonderful thing. So these elders, I believe, represent in some way, shape and form, something of that. And one of the elders said to me, do not weep, John. Okay, he's weeping profusely. He is heartbroken. He understands that there's a problem. But do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. Now, time won't permit us this morning to have a look, but if you want to make a note, Genesis 49, from verse 9 to 10, you can read about the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You can read about the root of David, as it were. And so here he says, do not weep. This Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. And we know this morning this is speaking of Jesus. Yes. This is the privilege you and I have, reading these things back, as it were, into the Old Testament. What a privilege we have, this mystery of the church age that we're living in now. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seal, its seals. And then John says something quite amazing that I think we sometimes miss when we read these passages. John says in verse 6, and I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood not a lamb, not a lion, forgive me, but a lamb. Yes, not just any lamb. A lamb as though it had been slain, my friends. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Yes, this majestic picture. But John turns and he sees this lamb as though it had been slain. And again, you and I know this morning. This is speaking of none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. But do you notice what he's saying there? There's that phrase. I don't know what it says in your translation, but in my translation, New King James, it says, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood this lamb. My friends, this intrigued me when I read this. And we've been going through in our church for some time now, thinking about this whole thing of reconciliation. And this great problem that John saw, that no one is found worthy. And that there needs to be a mediator. And you can go and do a study of this word, in the midst of. Mesos is the Greek word, if I'm pronouncing it right. And I went and I had a look at a Greek Bible dictionary online. And it says, in the midst, as a root word, also as a noun, mesites, which means mediator. Okay? And the noun for mesites, this is just a definition, I'll read it to you. I quote, it says, the noun mesites, meaning mediator, not merely someone who stands in between two unrelated groups, but rather someone who is intimately involved in both groups and is able to represent them both. If there is a conflict between two groups, a true mediator embodies this conflict and suffers the blows exchanged in his own body. What an awesome definition. something of what Jesus has done for us. Isn't it amazing, my friends? In the midst of the throne, we know this morning, we worship Him as God, very God in the flesh. And even now when we go into this Christmas time, we'll be singing those carols. Emmanuel, yes? God with us. He truly is in the midst of the throne. But not only that, He is in the midst of those 24 elders. My friends, what an awesome insight our friend John had. And so too, he brings two together, this reconciliatory work. And lest we should ever forget, there is right now in heaven this lamb as though he had been slain. You know, we read about Jesus, and when John sees him in the beginning of Revelation in his glorified body. But I'm convinced as he saw him here, there's going to be something of that truth, my friends, of what Jesus did for us in order that we can be there with him in glory and live the life we even live now in freedom from sin. What the great cost was. The lamb that was slain. My friends, the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. This is to me one of the most awesome messages of the Bible. What an insight John received here. And you know, right back in Job 9 verse 33, you can have a look at this with me if you like. Turn back to the book of Job. He asked this very question. Job is such a fascinating character. And you can read the whole chapter 9 if you like. Job really identifies this very problem that I believe John saw. Who is worthy? Who is able? Who is worthy to bring man and God back together? I'll read it from verse 32. He's talking about God. He says, "For he is not a man as I am, that I may answer him, and that we should go to court together." Job understood this. "Nor is there any mediator between us who may lay his hand on us both." Job understood something of this problem. And isn't it amazing that he would say in another place, "I know my Redeemer lives." Amen. I know my Redeemer lives. If you turn to the New Testament back, 1 Timothy chapter 2, please. 1 Timothy chapter 2. There are many other places. I'm convinced you could read through the whole Bible and find this theme of reconciliation, this insight of this mediation that is taking place. And here we see, as these apostles, Paul and others, they write under the anointing and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. They say things like this: "For there is one God." Verse 5. 1 Timothy 2 verse 5. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus." You see this, my friends, representing both parties. Very God in the flesh, born as a human being through the Virgin Mary. What an awesome thing has taken place in history. And then in Hebrews chapter 9, I think a few scriptures came this morning from Hebrews. It's amazing. Hebrews 9 from verse 11 says, "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, which the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation." not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, the Anointed, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. My friends, what a great cost. What a great cost. And you know, when John turned and he sees this lamb as though he had been slain, and we think back and we cast back our eyes even back to the time of the Exodus, yes, when they were brought out, and they had to slay that little lamb, as it were, and put that blood on the doorposts. And it was only through that blood and that blood alone that that angel of death would pass over if he saw that blood. He didn't necessarily look at who was worthy, who was doing all the right things at that time. No, only the blood. Only the blood. And Jesus forevermore is that lamb that was slain for you and for me. Once and for all, the writer of Hebrews says. And I'm convinced we will never, ever be able to forget this thing, even in glory. The lamb that was slain. But my friends, what does this say of us even now? Yes, we're living in the time of grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blood that was shed for us. Oh, that we would see a glimpse, as you were, of the brutality of the cross and apply that to our lives every time. I should think about sinning against my Lord, and I know that's what it cost. I could understand something of what John is saying when he saw no one, not one, was found worthy. Do not weep, John. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. Oh, hallelujah. What an insight. And he sees the lamb has already been slain. Seven horns, seven eyes. Bible says which are the seven spirits of God. References you can look in the Old Testament about this as well. Talking, I believe, of a complete fullness, multifaceted, the Spirit of God, if you like, and the seven horns of complete strength of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he came, my friends, and he took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne, the only one found worthy. And now look what begins to happen in verse 8. It says, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders, they fell down before the Lamb. They fell down. They understand. They understand what is going on here. I love to think of the Bible when I read it. I love to think, Lord, what are you seeing from your perspective when you are speaking through the prophets, when you are prophesying even through the gifts of the Spirit into the church? What is it that you're seeing from your perspective? When the holy angels came and they appeared to people of old and they gave them a message. You know, well thought out words. And I think of the great time in Luke chapter 2, the shepherds watching their flock by night, yes. We'll be singing those carols. And the angel appears to them. And immediately we think of the Sunday school presentations, yeah, a little kid coming up, dressed up like an angel. But can you imagine that the sky lit up on that night? And this glorious angel stands there and gives them this message. And then lest they miss the importance of this message, my friends, it's like a host of the armies of heaven appear to these shepherds. glory to God in the highest. Peace and goodwill to men on earth. They understood something of what took place on that day. And my prayer is for us in these days, these last days in which we live now, my friends. Because I'm convinced when the Lord was coming back, my friends, when that trumpet should sound or your home call comes, are you longing to be with your Savior? Indeed, these things were written for us. These insights were given to help us understand something of what took place. This mediation between God and a fallen race. And isn't it amazing if you think about this? These angels, ministers of God, they come and appear, as it were, knowing that even their counterparts, if you like, Satan is fallen and the fallen angels. Jesus didn't come to redeem them. He's come to redeem you and me. And they have the privilege of bringing this message, my friends, all of heaven. Glory to God, the highest. Peace and goodwill to men. Human beings, do you not know what your God has done for you this day? The Savior is born. The Lamb that was slain. And they all fall down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, my friends. We never cease to pray. Pray without ceasing, says Paul. Prayers of the saints arising before the throne of Almighty God. And they sing this new song, verse 9, Revelation chapter 5. A new song, like a fresh song, okay? A new song that none of the angels, if you like, they can't really sing this song. They've not been redeemed, because what does it say? It says, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. No angel can sing that song. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And not only that, you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. What an awesome, awesome insight this is. And isn't it amazing? You could fly on a plane to the other side of the globe and walk into a little church somewhere, spirit-filled church, where they don't even speak your language. If you're a true born-again spirit-filled believer, you will know you're amongst brethren on that day. I've experienced this. It is wonderful. No idea what they're saying, but the love of God is there. Because he has redeemed us out of every tribe, tongue, and people, and nation. And it's amazing, my friends, when I think of the great delay. Doesn't that evil servant say in his heart, my master's delaying his coming, and he begins to beat his fellow servants. End of Matthew 24. This great delay, Peter tells us, God's desire is for all to come to repentance. Tonight, I believe you're praying for loved ones, unsaved loved ones. My friends, pray. Pray. It's his desire that we all come through to salvation. And then in verse 11 it says, I looked and I heard the voice of many angels. Now the angels join, my friends. This is what they're watching, isn't it? This is what they are seeing from their perspective. They're there with their Father in heaven. Yes, in all the majesty and glory and the power. And they are seeing what God is doing. And what lengths he's going to save this fallen human race. That God himself should step in through his Son. And be that mediator in the midst of the throne and the midst of the 24 elders. And the angels, my friends, worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. We're never going to get tired of praise and worship in heaven, my friends. I think the moment there's, it's just an inkling of maybe thinking, you know,
and we're just going to realize again what Jesus has done for us. And we are going to begin to praise and worship Him. Verse 13, and every creature, which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and are such are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Do you know Paul tells us in his letter to the Romans, all creation is even groaning, waiting in an anticipation. Yes, being subjected in hope that it's going to get redeemed. And what's creation waiting for? Not for us to reduce our emissions and clean up the planet as much as we should do our best. They're waiting for us, Lot, my friends, and the people out there, to turn to their God, the one who created them. And there's going to be this eruption of praise and worship like we've never seen before. And the four living creatures, they said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him who lives forever and ever. Oh, my friends, go and study this chapter for yourself again. Ask yourself, Lord, what are you showing John through all of these things? What are you saying to us in this time that we live? What is it that you are wanting even the Christians back then to know when they were going to face certain persecution, as we may do in the days to come? What strength can we draw from this? But the blessed hope, yes, that this life is not it. All those wonderful gifts of the Holy Spirit, even the Bible talks about, and in 1 Corinthians 13, they are only now in part. But when that which is perfect has come, those things will be done away with. Only faith, hope, and love. Greatest of those being love. So now, by His grace and His mercy, He gives us what we need, my friend, so that we can see, as it were, and live a life of faith. But I want to encourage you this morning. Let this passage challenge you. And think about this mediation that has taken place. Think about it then, even if you like, from the angel's perspective, as they watch and they see what their God, their Father, who created them in all their glory, has done for you and for me. How on earth do we respond to that? There's only one way. The elders have shown us. He's just poof, on your face before God and surrender, my friends, to surrender. Thank you, Lord. You have redeemed us. You, by your own blood. And we join the chorus of heaven in worship. Adoration forever and ever. Oh, what an insight. Lord, I just want to pray for each and every one of us here this morning. Lord, we long just to see something more of these insights, Lord. And I pray that you help us as we read through these passages. Father, we would recognize this great message that you have given us. Lord, this mediation, Lord. Father, that we would truly see our Lord Jesus as the Lamb that was slain from the very foundations of the world. That, Lord, that even in every moment when we should be tempted in our own sinful flesh to sin against you, to remember the cross. Oh my God, to be so quick to repent. To be so quick to forgive others that have sinned against us. Lord, you have forgiven us so much. I pray that you would renew in us in these last days, not just us here, but Lord, the church, even in this nation. I'm praying, Father, there be a reviving again in this time. Lord of true worship. Remove from us all the religion, all the things that we have put upon ourselves and allow to be put upon us throughout the ages. But Lord, to come to the simple truth, Lord, a profound truth of who you are and what you've done for us. And I pray for each and every one of us here this morning, particularly even those that are sitting on the fence perhaps, Lord, and they've not understood what it is you've done for them. They hear us singing songs, they hear us saying things. But Lord, would you reveal something of what you've done for them, to them. In Jesus' name I ask, Lord. And that we would truly, even now, in this life that we live, bring glory to your most precious name, Lord, in everything that we do. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Neil. Thank you.